Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. That was last week's text. That was the image that came to us last week as we read the 23rd Psalm as well, as we heard once again those familiar words of Jesus as the beloved shepherd, the one who gathers us in, protects us, and wards off the dangers in our world. I am the light of the world. Another familiar passage, another familiar image of how God comes to us and scatters the darkness and brings to us the light of truth and wisdom and understanding, goodness and hope in our world. I am the bread of life. Not only the bread that we eat here in the cup that we drink, but the bread of life that is our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread, we pray. And we know that as we are consumed by Christ, we too become that bread that can be food in ministry and goodness to our world. There's seven places where Jesus uses this phrase, I am the Good Shepherd, the light of the world, the bread of life, gate for the sheep, the way, the truth, and the life, resurrection and life. Seven places where Jesus uses this phrase, or should I say, it's more likely that John, the gospel writer, is the one who gathers these together and for a very specific purpose has Jesus speaking these words, this little phrase, I am all of these things. Because John is intent on sharing with his own community, his own people, and now us as we read these words, that, as he says in the beginning was the Word, and that Word we come to know is Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John specifically wants us to know that Jesus, this one who has spoken into our world in new ways, is the one who is also the God of creation, the God of our fathers and mothers, the God that gives us everything that we need. It stretches way back to the story of Exodus, where Moses encounters this bush that is burning and yet not burning up. And therein, God speaks to Moses, and God gives Moses this word when Moses says, who am I to say that has sent me to free the Israelites? God says, tell them my name. Say, Yahweh. And interestingly, Yahweh in the Hebrew tongue simply means, I am that I am. So when Jesus utters these words, when Jesus says, I am, Jesus is saying, I am God. I am all of the things that God has always promised, abundance and protection, life and hope and goodness, and everything that you need. Abide in me, and I will be your God. And this is certainly good news, especially as we gather here in a place like this, week after week, or as it's been the last year, month after month, or year after year. However often we're able to come together, good news that Jesus comes to us as that one who puts away our worries, gives us hope and security for whatever is to come in the future. Whatever we are bringing into this place, Jesus takes and says, as God, I have the power and the will and the blessing to be able to move and change and transform in your life. Thanks be to God. But this is also good news as this word from this place goes out into our community. Perhaps for those who are poor, those who are hungry, those who are afraid, those who are imprisoned, those who are sick. However it is that this word gets out from this place, this word of God, this essence and this being of God in the word of Jesus Christ gets out into our community and changes lives, gives hope and security, not just for us, but for all who hear this word. Today, Jesus uses this phrase again, I am, now saying, I am the true vine, using this image of a vineyard that has been familiar to those who have read the passages of Isaiah and others in the so-called Old Testament. Jesus says, that vine that you've heard about, that vineyard that God has always said God has been growing in and through the people of God, I am that vine. I am the one who brings life into that place. And I love this passage because it always reminds me of my first Christmas tree with my wife Jana. It was a good tree. It wasn't quite this bad. But it had a little spot on one side that was kind of bare, right? And so I thought, this is perfect. This gives me the opportunity to show my manliness. I could get out the power tools. And I said, I'm going to cut a hole in the tree, and I'm going to graft a branch from where there was too many branches onto this space where there wasn't enough branches. And you can bet how well that went over in my house. Jana said, God made this tree, and God made this tree the way God wanted the tree to be. Don't you go messing with what God has made. But this is what Jesus is talking about. This grafting in of the branches onto the vine. Jesus says the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Unless it is carefully by the vine grower grafted into that vine and allowed to receive the nutrients and the goodness that comes from the earth and from the creation so that the fruit might grow on those branches and give blessing abundance to those who receive it. It is as if Jesus has said, I am this vine growing in our world, and everyone who is attached to me in some way is receiving the goodness of God, receiving all of the things that God hopes to give in this world. And so again, that is familiar and good news for us as we receive all that God through Jesus has to give us, through prayer and worship and devotions and reading our scriptures and giving and our sense of vocation in the world and all that God gives us as we step out into our world, into our lives that sometimes are difficult, sometimes are treacherous, sometimes are joyful and blessed, but always being connected to that one who is Christ. It's always important, though, as we read these texts, and any text in the Bible or most texts online, to always look for what does this passage say, but also what does it not say. This text about the vine and the branches says that you've already been cleansed. Jesus says, when this happens, you will ask and it will be done for you. It also says that whoever does not abide, whoever's not connected to the vine, withers and is thrown into the fire. Word of warning for us, but also a word of deep hope that we will remain connected. But what this text doesn't say, interestingly, is that it doesn't say because you are connected to the vine, you'll go to heaven when you die. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He might say something like that in other places, but he's not saying that here. He's also not saying that when you're connected to me in this way, when you're grafted into the vine, that everything will be wonderful for you. That the goodness will flow and the fruit will grow and all will be well. It's not necessarily saying that. What the text does say is that those who abide in me, Jesus says, and I in them, bear much fruit. It's a statement of fact that Jesus is making, not a, if you do this, then this will happen. What he's saying is, those who abide in me, those who are connected to me, undoubtedly bear good fruit. It's as if Jesus is saying, this vine extends from me, and we see this connected to us as we are the church. As we are the ones who have been baptized and received the goodness of this table week after week. As we open our Bibles at least once in a while and see those words, God so loved the world. We have received these words. But Jesus is saying that when that happens, naturally, almost like stuff grows in our world, the vines continue to grow out from this place. Where are the vines growing in our community? Where are the vines growing as we grow in our world away from this place? Does the vine grow for school children in our community as we recognize the schools that are not very far away from this place? Does the vine grow for immigrants that are making their way to our country and even into our valley, as we know of organizations that are helping folks from Honduras and other places to settle legally and rightfully, along with the right paperwork and everything that is required to settle and become part of our community? Does the vine grow for people who are with special needs or in ways in need in our community? These are the ways that Jesus is asking us to extend our vines, to extend the nutrients into our world, perhaps even to those who are in jail or in prison, those who are addicted to drugs and other things in our world, people who are lonely, people who are sad, people who are living differently in our world, people who connect to us as servants and communicators in our world, all the different ways that God has given us to live and to share our blessings in our community so that we together, church and community, congregation and community, neighborhood and valley and state and country and world can exist in this vine, allowing the goodness of God to flow through us. It's as if to say that this church is intended to step out into community and to find those places and those people who will allow us to be connected and to give the nutrients that we need. And Jesus says, by this, my Father is glorified. We might have come here thinking, well, I need to go to church. I need to do my duty. I need to be the Christian that I've been called to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad we're here. But God doesn't just call us to come. God calls us to go. God calls us, once we have been grafted, to grow into our world, where this thing that Jesus has given us might spread to the unlikeliest of people out in our community. All of the people we love, all of the people we care about, a lot of the people that maybe we don't understand. Certainly, all the people that cry out to God for God's grace, God's hope, God's goodness. Jesus says, I am God. I am all the things that God has promised, not only to you who have heard this word, but to the whole world, to whom you are connected, which is growing and blessed because of this vine. And that certainly is good news. Amen.